Joining us to discuss this, Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News. Ryan, welcome back to the show. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you taking some time here. Let's start with the trade that, I guess, officially was confirmed about an hour ago, but Aroldis Chapman is now a member of the Chicago Cubs. This is clearly them building up for a World Series or bust run in 2016, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, I mean, I think, although, you know, actually, I use the word World Series or term the World Series or bust, and actually, it's probably not fully World Series or bust. I'll put it this way. It's going all out to get to the World Series because of the way the Cubs are set up. They have so many young guys that are on the club control for a long time. This is not like we looked at, you know, the Blue Jays last year or this year, you know, when you've got Bautista and Encarnacion kind of at the end of their contracts and you're not sure how long that window is going to last. The Cubs are going to be World Series contenders for a long time with guys like Rizzo and Bryant, Russell, and all those youngsters in the majors. But that said, they're absolutely going for the World Series in 2016. And they, you know, the price that they paid some pretty good young talented players going over to the Yankees for a guy, you know, I mean, quite frankly, he may throw 35 innings for the Cubs, 40 innings in his entire time with the Cubs. But this is about winning a World Series, you know, because they've actually been pretty good. I mean, I saw some numbers. They're like 55-1 in the last 56 games when they've had a lead heading into the ninth inning. But you feel better with Aroldis Chapman back there in a playoff game than you do with Hector Rondon. So I think that's exactly why they made this move.
What have you made of the last, I guess, 12 months for Aroldis Chapman? He had some issues off the field. He was missed the first 30 games due to a suspension. But since he's returned to MLB, he's throwing 104 miles an hour with the Yankees. There's really been their nickname for their bullpen was No Runs DMC in New York. He was really pretty good for the New York Yankees. So is it safe to say he's maybe put some of those off-field issues behind him and he's just focusing on playing baseball?
Well, he has. It's harder for... And it should be harder for fans and for us media types to put that behind because, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like he did, you know, had parking tickets. I mean, the charges against him, you know, domestic violence, were pretty ugly.
Yeah.
You know, firing a gun and in a fight with his girlfriend, you know, obviously the charges were never filed and he served his time. So as far as the Cubs are concerned, he's that's behind him. For them, that's behind him. It's still... You know, it's. I have a hard time just kind of whitewashing domestic violence just because it's been, you know, 8 months, 12 months, whatever it has been. Solely from a baseball perspective, and I'll caveat by saying solely by a baseball perspective, it's been a great deal for the Yankees because they traded him around the time that was going down. You didn't know how much the suspension was going to be. So they got him for a bargain price in terms of prospects from the Reds. Now they trade him away and get a much better package than what they got or what they got him for. And there's also the possibility, because he is a free agent after the season, you know, both sides have expressed interest in bringing him back. So, I mean, it's realistic that, you know, the Cubs could wind up getting this great haul for Chapman for a couple months and then bringing him back and having him back there in the bullpen with Betances and Miller again next year. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, from that perspective, it could work out really, really well for the Yankees.
We're joined by Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News talking MLB's the trade deadline just right around the corner. The Yankees ship Aroldis Chapman off to the Chicago Cubs. Do you expect them to continue unloading some of their arms in the bullpen? I don't think Betances is going anywhere, but Andrew Miller, I think they could get a lot of people asking for him. And also Carlos Beltran, who's having a pretty good season for the Bronx Bombers. Do you expect Brian Cashman to make a few more moves before the deadline?
Well, I think Carlos Beltran is absolutely going to go somewhere. Unless they win, you know, eight of the next nine games and get back, you know, within a game or two wild card and they decide they're going to make a run for it. Because, you know, Beltran, as you said, he's having a really good year, but he's a 39-year-old outfielder who's probably better suited as a DH. But they have, you know, they're paying Alex Rodriguez a ton of money to be a DH part-time against left-handed pitchers. So, you know, they don't really necessarily have a room for him because he's a free agent after the year. You know, that's why they don't have room for him in 2017. They're not going to extend a qualifying offer. So they wouldn't get a first-round draft pick in return. So they basically, if they're going to get any post-2016 value out of Carlos Beltran, they're going to have to make a deal and trade him away. And there are a lot of teams, especially AL teams, that would love to add a veteran bat switch hitter like Beltran to their lineup.
The Toronto Blue Jays open up a 3-game set tonight against the San Diego Padres. Jose Bautista returns to the lineup. The Blue Jays are sitting pretty good so far at this point in the season, just, I believe, a game and a half back, or three games back now of the AL East leading Baltimore Orioles. Now that Blue Jay fans have had a taste of postseason, there's a lot more pressure, I believe, on the organization. So what do you expect the Blue Jays to do? Do you expect one of their big bats to get moved at the deadline, or status quo? Do they have any more prospects to really land an impact player this season?
Yeah, they obviously sent a lot of the young prospects away last year in the deals for Price and Tulowitzki. So the farm system is a little bit barren. I think the thing that, and it's not just the Blue Jays problem, but it's a league-wide contenders problem, is they have to address the bullpen in some way, shape, or form. I mean, obviously, they tried to do that in the offseason, making the trade for Drew Storen. And Drew Storen seemed like a great, you know, change the scenery type guy. I really thought that was a good move for the Blue Jays, and he was going to be an answer in the eighth and ninth inning. And obviously, that didn't happen. It didn't turn out that way. So, I mean, I think they need to address that somehow. But, I mean, even, you know, even the seventh inning guys in the bullpen, they're not cheap in terms of prospects either. The other guy that the Cubs picked up a week or two ago, Mike Montgomery from the Mariners, I mean, it cost him Dan Vogelbach, who's a guy that a lot of people looked at as kind of like Kyle Schwarber light. You know, he's a guy that is probably destined for a DH role because he's not very good in the field, but he's a good power hitting prospect. And so, you know, even Montgomery was a costly guy. So, you know, I think that's the challenge, is finding the pieces you can add to the bullpen. And like I said, it's not just the Blue Jays issue. It's pretty much a league-wide issue for contenders. So that's why the price for these relievers is so high right now.
Joined by Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News, talking MLB. The Blue Jays in action tonight at 5 o'clock, taking on the Padres. Will Chris Sale be a member of the Chicago White Sox after the trade deadline, Ryan?
I think so, because even though he's now had two basically temper tantrums, you know, two blowups in the past 4 or 5 months, and he's becoming a headache. And this last incident where he sliced up the jerseys in the clubhouse, it reflects very, very poorly on him. He's still an amazing pitcher. His contract is still incredibly team friendly. He's still under it for another 3.5 years. There is zero chance the White Sox trade him away for anything less than what they perceive as his full value. And his full value is really high, you know, as much as any pitcher that might be available out there. So they will certainly explore options, but I'm not sure you're going to have a team meet the demands that the White Sox have, because if you're really a White Sox team and you understand that you may not be contenders now, and you may start to get into a situation where you're going to do a little bit of a rebuild, you know, Sale is a valuable trade chip. And whether you trade him now or next offseason or next trade deadline or this offseason after that, when you still have a lot of club control, you're waiting until you get the offer you want. And is it going to happen in the next couple of days? You know, I wouldn't say I feel that's likely.
This past weekend, two people were put into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. It was Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza. Ryan, was there anything, one moment, one speech that really stood out to you over this past weekend?
To me, by far the best part of it was when Griffey put on the baseball cap backwards, you know, because that's the lasting image we all had of Griffey as a kid. He was out there just having fun, his cap on backwards, you know, the bill it pulled way down. And it was when he did that standing up on the stage, the end of his speech, that was just a really cool moment. I think we all kind of wanted to see that, and for him to do that was really cool.
And now looking at the class of 2017, I know in Canada there's a big contingent of people hoping Tim Raines finally gets into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But looking forward, do you think Raines should get in? Is there someone that you feel has been slighted long enough and now it's time to maybe let them in?
I mean, Tim Raines should have been in a long time ago. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'll say this. This is my 10th year in the Baseball Writers Association, so I get my first Hall of Fame vote this December, and Tim Raines will absolutely be on my ballot. So he will get at least one more vote, and he wasn't that far away last year. And I think the more that the voting block is changing a little bit, you've seen the numbers reflect. You know, last year Tim Raines got a nice big bump. I think you just look at his numbers. You know, I was looking at him today, and the guy had 808 career stolen bases, and he had more homers, 170, than he had caught stealings, which is 146 in his career. I think you just look at what he did and some of his skills I think in terms of getting on base, were a little underappreciated when he played. But, you know, this is a guy in my mind that he not only deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, he should have been there many years ago.
Ryan, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for this. Enjoy the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll chat as the playoffs approach. Thanks for your time.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News.